Hello again, my favorite people, and thank you once again for tuning in to For the Love of Life podcast. This is another guest episode, and I'm super, super psyched to have had the fucking awesome time to have had this conversation with Carlos de la Playa. Whatever, I don't know why I said it like that. Probably because it's more fun. Anyways, so Carlos, I've met in the Voice Codes program, which I've talked about before, with Raven Royce, who I had on the podcast before. And if you haven't checked that out, you should listen to that episode because I loved it and I think that you would too. Anyways, so these people are just incredible creatives who have like tapped into their true essence and are able to now share that with others. And lucky me, I get to have this podcast and I get to have them on to share it with you. So you're welcome. And also thank you for sharing it with us. So I don't really want to wait very long to release this episode. So I'm just going to do it right away. Because that was so invigorating. And Carlos just has like so much good, juicy information on how to get the most out of your life and really tap into your own power. And he's just such a fucking lover. He's a lover of life, and those are my people, you know? So, and he's someone whose energy is absolutely infectious in the best way possible. And here it is. So please, please, please enjoy. I'll link his TikTok and his Twitter down below. And please check him out. He's a fucking delight and just such a gift to the world. So I'm happy to have had him on here to share with you. Carlos de la Playa. Oh my gosh. Well, it's nice to see you again. And you're not surrounded by other faces.
Yeah.
We're like alone in this online room together.
It's nice to see you too. And I'm grateful that you'd invite me to be in this space where we can create a little magique together.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I'm just gonna turn my volume up a bit. Magic. Even that first voice codes session, you were just everything. Every time that you spoke, I'm just like, oh my god, this guy's so inspiring. Like, what is this energy? And then when I was like, I wanted to follow you guys on Instagram, and you linked your page, and I saw that you were a life coach. I was like, of course. Like, literally, how could it be anything else? I was like.
Yeah, you know, for those of you listening that don't know what Voice Codes is, it's a group program that me and Latea are both a part of that's all about like unlocking the magic of your voice through speaking, scribing, and scripting. And I really appreciate you for saying that, Latea. I feel like every experience that I've been brought towards in my life up until this point has really brought me here and helped me like be able to give that experience to other people just by existing, where people experience my energy as magnetic or inspiring. And I feel like I finally am in the place in my life where I actually believe it about myself too. So when people say it, I'm like, yeah, I know, you know?
Yeah.
I always tell people a great way to like program your body is to say, I know, when someone compliments you and see what happens. And I actually feel that. It feels so true to me. So thank you for sharing with me that beautiful compliment. And I know.
Of course. Oh man, that's so great. How old are you even, Carlos?
I'm 27 years of age.
Ah, amazing. And are you live in Miami, Florida?
Yes, currently I'm living in Miami, Florida, just exploring life over here.
Is that where did you live before that?
I've always lived in Miami, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yep, I'm a Miami boy.
Love Miami boy. You're the first Miami person I've ever actually met. So this is exciting for me.
Yes. Welcome to the palm tree frequency.
The palm tree that must have a good effect on people. Oh my gosh. What did you say? Well, I wanted to like intentionally not make notes for this podcast in honor of like the voice codes. Like I'm like, we're gonna freestyle, okay? Like it's just gonna be whatever comes up. And then just before we started recording, I was practicing saying your last name because I was like, De La Playa, De La. How do you say the De La part? De La Playa.
Yeah.
And I just thought it felt so good to even say. And then I was imagining like that's how you get to say that for the entire duration of your life. And if like words carry vibration, like De La Playa,
Yeah.
like what's your name? Carlos. That thing. I had a picture fall off my wall earlier, and it was the same one. I put it back up, and it just fell down
Yeah, your
again.
wall is just feeling the intensity of your energy expanding and is like, I want to join the party too. But yeah, it's funny that you mentioned De La Playa. That's actually not like my real last name.
It's not.
I'm not gonna reveal my real last name because not everyone gets to know it. But yeah, it was a nickname that a friend gave to me in like 9th grade. And it stuck ever since and then became like my brand name and my alias and my what people know me as. So I just run with it. And it really matches my vibe. So I'm
Oh my
just
God.
amplifying it and putting it all over the place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's like you scripted that energy with the name, but
Yeah.
your friend gave it to you.
Yeah, and then I just kind of like over time infused it with meaning. Before it was just kind of like my video game username back in the day. Now it has the essence of everything I stand for and everything I'm cultivating within my life. And I feel really blessed to get to carry this name.
Oh, I love that. That makes me want one. I also want to give me a cool last name that like, just amplifies my already vibe. I have just been kind of obsessed with like scrolling through your Instagram and like watching your videos. And there was one where you were like having the dialogue between like one you and the other you about feeling embarrassing, like, and you're like, but what if I'm cringy? And it's like, why does that matter? What if I embarrass myself? And I was like, fuck, like, is that for me? And then as you can see from today's little voice code session, like, as soon as the spotlight was on me to be like, to sing, just the fear of embarrassing myself in front of myself and other people was just like crippling. Do you know what I mean? Like, because the sound did not come out, obviously. And so I don't know. What do you have to like add to touch onto that? Like,
Oh, totally. Yeah. So I'm just the mission that I stand for that's been given to me, right? Like, I don't really even think I chose this mission. I like to almost see this mission as like a spirit or an entity that just kind of like chose me, right? And the mission that I stand for is like amplifying like genuine embodied self-expression. And, not performative self-expression. I'm not talking about pretending or wearing something you think is supposed to count as self-expression or following the rule book of what self-expression means, but like actually giving you permission to like design what that looks like for you. And the video that you're referencing, for those who have never seen it or followed me on Instagram, I basically did a little like skit between like two friends, so to speak, or a life coaching client. Like you can kind of see it like that, like a little TikTok skit. And the premise of it was that one person in the skit was like, oh, what if I embarrass myself by dressing this way? Or what if I make people cringe when I start showing up more and taking up more space? Or what if showing this part of me gets me rejected, right? And I was responding to it with like, yeah, so what? Like, what if that did happen? Why is that such a problem? And I think what happens is that when people like consider or start feeling a sort of calling to expand whatever way that looks like to them or express something they've never expressed before. There's a very real sort of trauma response that happens at the idea of embarrassment. Like the body, and a lot of people beat themselves up about it, but what a lot of people don't understand is that when trauma happens, your logical mind just has no power. Your body completely takes over. So what happens is when people like come to terms with the possibility of being embarrassed and they face that possibility, their body will go into like a fight, flight, freeze, or fawn response. And the body will take over. I'm just going to stress that again. Like it's just, you can try and positive think your way out of it all you want. It's just not going to work. And a lot of people don't understand how to hold space for that with compassion and with grace and with neutrality and openness. Because what happens is the body actually thinks that embarrassment is unsafe. So it thinks that we'll die if we get embarrassed or if somebody judges us or if somebody calls us cringy or puts a hate comment on our Instagram. And that feels very real to the body. The logical mind is like, that's fucking bullshit. Like, no, it's not going to kill me. So like what happens is people start beating themselves up with their logical mind, not understanding what's happening in the body. And part of the process of teaching the nervous system safety in embarrassment is like taking embarrassment off the pedestal by truly answering the question. Like the brain will feed you or the trauma will feed you the worst case scenario. Like, what if I get embarrassed? Oh my God, blah, blah, blah. I invite you to slow down and actually answer that question. What if you did feel embarrassed? What if you did make a fool out of yourself? What if that was actually true? Why is that a problem? And like that starts to disarm that voice a little bit because the voice is just going, 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 going. And like, you know, what happens is we hear the voice of the inner critic and we make it a problem. We start beating ourselves up for beating ourselves up. Instead of just slowing down and engaging with that voice as if it's another human being occupying the space in the room, right? So embarrassment, like embarrassing ourselves, is a super important part of the process of expanding. Like,
Oh, shit.
we cannot expand without embarrassing ourselves. So what I often tell people is like, if you're embarrassing yourself, that means it's working. That means you are actually in the arena of life playing the game instead of being a bystander watching and mentally masturbating with like this idea of expansion and this idea of self-expression or judging people who express themselves in a way that offends you. Like, you're supposed to embarrass yourself. It's not like, oh, don't embarrass it. Like, if I'm embarrassing myself, then I'm doing it wrong. That's where people kind of like mess up in this process. So my invitation to people is like do cringy shit more.
On purpose. Oh,
Yeah. In fact, if your brain is saying this is really cringy, don't do it, then that's literally where your soul would most expand. Like wherever your brain says this is too much, whether it's with an outfit or what you want to say, or this is cringy, maybe I should delete it or not say it or not wear it or do it, whatever. Literally, you choosing to do that thing is you choosing to expand. Period.
Ah, yes, that's like it's so true. 'Cause I'm thinking about like all my favorite comedians and stuff are the ones who say like the most outrageous shit. Like the in order to be a good comedian, like you have to push those boundaries and like say the things that it's like might be too much, like they might not like that, but that's the stuff that kills. And with any kind of art, really, like that's, it's still, it's the physical reaction is so real, like when the body responds in that way. So I guess I wonder if is that a process that would be effective? Like if you're afraid of doing something because it's going to be cringy, if you like do like a parody of that thing that you're afraid of, you know, so then it's like we can laugh about it and I can laugh at myself, but I'm still doing the thing that I was too scared to do.
Yeah, like I think what immediately comes up for me with that is like it depends like what kind of stage you are within the trauma cycle. So like if the response isn't happening in your body, then making fun of it like could actually serve you because your logical thinking mind, your prefrontal cortex still has control, right? Whereas if you're actually in the trauma response, like the best thing you can do is like process it. And processing is a four-step process of like this four-step process was designed by Tara Brach, who's literally my favorite meditation teacher in the world. Look her up on YouTube. She actually has a 10-minute version and a 20-minute version of this process, and it's guided. And I literally do it every time I have a trauma response. And I've done it so many times that like I do it so quickly now. But anyways, so the first step is to recognize that you're having the trauma response. Okay, I'm having a freeze response, a fight response, a flight response, a fawn response, right? I'm experiencing, like my body's taking over, like I'm experiencing anxiety, right? And I would invite even people to recognize it with like one word, right? So anxiety, anger, shame, embarrassment, and disappointment. Like name the emotion that you're experiencing that feels really unsafe, dangerous in your body in the moment. And then step two is to acknowledge and allow, right? Mm-hmm. And I forgot to mention that this is an acronym, RAIN. So R, recognize, A, allow, right? And allowing it is simply like being with the embodied experience of what's going on without trying to fix it. Now, what this means is like you're sitting with the emotion with no goal. What a lot of people do is they try to process their emotions to get rid of it. And that's how you know you're doing the process incorrectly, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But it's literally sitting with the emotions and literally like almost telling the emotion, hey, you belong here. I'm not here to fix you. I'm just here to get to know you better. Right. And then the third step, the eye of RAIN, is to investigate. And investigation involves curiosity, not judgment. So what a lot of people do are they're like, oh, I don't like this feeling. It feels like shit. It shouldn't be there. That's judgment. That's not investigation. Investigation is literally letting go of the story and sticking with how the sensation shows up in the body. So, okay, there's tightness in my throat. Okay, what temperature is the tightness? As you pay attention to the tightness in your throat, does it expand or contract? Does it move or does it stay still? What texture is it? Is it gooey? Is it jello-like? Is it fuzzy? Is it cloudy? Is it staticky? Like really getting to the nitty-gritty of it. If it had a color, what would it be? Right? That's the investigative process. And then the N, the final part, which is literally like probably my favorite part, is the nurturing part. And the nurturing part involves invoking a part of you that's loving. So for some people, it's their higher self, their future self. For some people, it's God, Jesus, Buddha, their mother, maybe an ancestor that represents loving compassion to them that passed away, right? Like, and literally imagining that part of you that you invoke, like placing a loving hand or hugging that part of you that feels unsafe and nurturing it. Like really allowing it to be there, loving it rather than rejecting it. This starts to teach your body, like the more you practice it, your body starts to trust you more. Mm. And the trauma response starts to like wiggle out of your nervous system permanently for that particular thing. right?
What?
Because we have human brains, like, we will always need to process a trauma response. That's never going to go away, right? As, like, there's going to be, like, once we expand into the next level, whatever the fuck that means, right? I don't mean levels hierarchically, but I just literally mean, like, just expansion, experiencing more of life because we've processed the traumas preventing us from going there. And that, once we're doing normal, then the next level, the next layer of expansion is going to have trauma responses. And we're just going to have to do it again, but with the next sort of layer of expansion. And I honestly completely forgot what you asked me, but I just, I went on a tangent. I just recently discovered that I've had undiagnosed ADHD my entire life, and I'm just owning it. Like, I forgot what you asked me, sis.
That's all right. Me too. Fuck no, that's a superpower. You just took that away. Tara Brock, you said that woman's name is?
Yeah, Tara Brock. She's like my mom, and she doesn't even know it.
Oh, I love that. So what do you got to look up to find one of those specific, like,
meditations? Yeah, if you're on YouTube, it's Tara, T-A-R-A, and then Brock is B-R-A-C-H. She has a 10-minute version and a 20-minute version. They're both just as powerful. So don't let your ego be like, oh, I'm supposed to do the 20-minute version. Like, literally just do the one that you want to do in the moment, right? And yeah, that process has really helped me cultivate a deeper relationship to myself. And what happens is because the nervous system starts feeling safer, then your ability to handle embarrassment increases. So you'll take bigger risks because you feel the trauma response isn't in control anymore. And I often tell people, because I think the self-improvement industry means really well, but I often see people like raping their nervous system by like always jumping out of their comfort zone. And I think that is beautiful and it's in service until it's not. Because understand that just like nature goes through seasons, so do we. The only thing in nature that's, and my life coach told me this, the only thing in nature that's constantly growing is cancer. So sometimes we need to literally like decay, metaphysically speaking or mentally speaking, right? Like, we need to allow ourselves to go into a cave sometimes and rest. And what I invite people to do when they're learning how to take up space and expand in their self-expression, what I'm inviting people to do is to consider 2% growth rather than like quantum leaping all the time. Like, quantum leaps, like true quantum leaps in who we are as an individual and the results we create in our life, are the result of people that stack 2% on top of 2% on top of 2% on top of 2%. It's not a one day to the next change. It looks like that to people. Mm. People look at me and they're like, Carlos, like, I feel like in the last like 6 months, you've lived two lifetimes. And I'm like, yes, because I've been doing the work for like 10 years, 2% of the time, right? Like, yeah.
Holy shit, 10 years. Yeah. So just, you started just pursuing excellence in the way that you live from when you were like 17, you were like, let's learn how to be a fucking happy, joyous, loving person.
I said 10 years is like a random number.
Oh, I'm like, what?
I feel like I've always had like very spiritual depth to me. But I started really, when I was in high school, I actually really struggled with like substance abuse, and I was in the closet as I wasn't confidently owning my sexuality as a gay man, and I was hidden. And towards the end of high school, beginning of college, I was doing a lot of ecstasy and a lot of drinking. And because when I was on ecstasy, like the first time I took ecstasy was the first time my brain said, I love you, to myself. So I became like addicted to that.
Yeah.
And at the same time though, like, the ecstasy is neutral. Like, I don't want people to now be like, ecstasy is a bad thing, because when I first did it, it helped me realize that loving myself was possible. And something very similar happened to me when I did my first psychedelic mushroom experience. And that kind of started opening me up to understanding that it's actually possible to change. Like, the identities that we're given growing up, like, are optional, you know? Mm-hmm. And changing them to something that feels more in alignment with our truth takes practice, takes work, and it's our responsibility. Like, no one's gonna come save you. You've got to come save yourself. And I started so that the sort of obsession with being on this path of understanding myself and growing more into me started in maybe like around that time when I started letting go of drugs in college, like, and I went through so many retreats, so many life coaches, so many different experiences. And over time, like, my brain got on board. My ego was like, oh, yeah, like, loving ourselves is actually pretty safe. Taking up space is actually not that dangerous. And, like, I started to, that voice started to soften. It's still there. It's still there, right? I just don't listen to it as much. Like, right now, for example, like, it's kind of tripping me out that I can see myself while I'm talking.
Yeah.
Like, this inner critic in my head is like, oh, you should have worn something different, or you should have, or your nose looks kind of funky, like, your hair's looking weird. Like, and I just don't listen to that voice. It's still there. We all have it. So if any of you feel like, oh my God, like, you're uniquely broken because you have a really mean voice, like, trust me, you're not uniquely broken. That's just called having a human nervous system and a human brain. Like, welcome to the party. So if I can do it, like, let that be evidence for you. Like, I really want that to sink in for people. Like, no one is uniquely broken. Broken is an opinion. It's an idea that was created by humans. You know, even a duck that broke its wing isn't thinking, I'm broken.
No, it just adapts. That's as it is now.
Exactly.
And make the best of that situation. And anybody who's like uniquely exceptional or perfect, it's like, no, well, they're also just like the rest of us. They've just been focused, I guess, in the direction that they want to go. In terms of, like, you said they went to lots of different retreats and, like, had different life coaches and stuff. Is that something that you sought out? Or did you find that you just kind of, like, attracted people into your life who ended up guiding you?
Definitely a little bit of both.
Hmm.
A little bit of both. I started following YouTubers that were talking about, like, self-improvement. And then I realized they would have Instagrams, and I would follow their Instagrams, and then they would have mutuals that caught my eye too, and I would follow them too. I would actually say that social media, which is so often vilified, like, I think it's such bullshit how much people vilify social media. But, like, because of social media and Instagram, like, I started to see, now he's my dear friend, someone who was, like, freestyle rapping on video. I saw it and I was like, this king is magnetic as fuck. Like, what can I do what he's doing? And then I saw that him and a bunch of other people were doing a retreat, and his coach wrote a book. So I read that book, and I literally went all in on that experience. And what really started to shift, Latea, was I stopped being the person consuming the books and consuming the self-improvement and the podcast, which there's nothing wrong with that. I love, that's part of the process too. But there's a shift where eventually, like, enough is enough, and you start, like, desiring change and fighting for change and experiencing life rather than observing it so much.
Mm-hmm. Or trying to, like, study it, you know, and, like, research processes, but not putting them into practice, like, getting out and participating full out. Oh man, that's cool. I don't think I've ever actually been on a retreat, but I've had lots of, like, psychedelic teachers.
Oh yeah, same bestie. Okay, so retreats, like, are an immersive experience where you can literally just leave the cocoon of your life and the environment that constantly reminds you of who you are, and be in a different environment where literally everybody sees you as your higher self, except maybe you. And you're surrounded in an environment that's magically cultivated, whether it's in nature or in a beautiful building or whatever. Like, it's, you're literally physically in a new space. So your brain will start to see, oh my God, that's hilarious.
I didn't mean to do that. I'm just sorry.
Yeah.
Hold on.
For those of you not watching the video, like, we're literally, like, she changed the background and now we're in nature sitting next to each other, which is super fun.
We're on a retreat.
Yeah, literally. But it's literally like our brain actually seeks evidence in our environment for who we are. So we can actually change our environment as a way of creating like a blank canvas energetically to step into somebody new. One way that I do this a lot is with clothing. So I used to, if you literally scroll through my Instagram and find my shit from a year ago, I was either always shirtless or wearing gray. Right. And right now I'm wearing a gray hoodie because it's really cold in Miami and this is my only hoodie. But like, I'm often wearing very bright colors and patterns and lots of jewelry and rings. And like, now I'm dressing in a way that feels more genuine to like the current version of who I am. So I like to think of it as almost like a caterpillar goes into a cocoon. And then the cocoon becomes a butterfly. Like, I know that's a really cliche metaphor, but bear with me for a second, right? Like, or no, actually, scratch that. Think of the hermit crab instead. The hermit crab outgrows its shell, then it discards that shell and finds another one. And then that environment is able to hold space for the new growth. But so many people don't ever change their environment. So like, they're maybe doing affirmations or self-improvement work, but they're not changing like the decorations in their room. They're not changing their clothing to literally teach their mind like, no, actually, this is who we are. Because the mind, the nervous system does that. It takes the environment. Like, if you were always wearing, like, let's say you always wore black when you had a drug problem. Right? Like, your brain will, without you realizing it, like, associate you wearing the color black with that being who you are. So like, in order to step into the next phase, like, a tool that you can use is changing your clothing or changing your room. Even I don't even know how we got to this in the conversation, but fuck it, I'm
who all cares? Yeah, I love it. I'm glad that we did, because I went for a walk this morning and I like gotten out of bed. Actually, after I was talking to Adela, where she mentioned that there was a time when it was her routine to like wake up, go for a walk, meditate, and then journal. And so I was like, I'm gonna give that a go. And so this morning I like woke up, went for a walk, but I just put on like sweatpants. I was wearing socks and sandals, like a big baggy sweater, and then just my coat, you know, and a hat. So, and I'm walking, I'm like, I don't feel like I'm dressed up, so I'm basically invisible, you know, is the way that I feel. And as I was walking, I had this thought, and I was thinking about how it's like really cool that we can go out and present into the world in so many different ways, and like, people will respond to us differently based on how we're dressed, because like, the way that you dress affects the way that you feel, and the way that you feel affects the way that you're like expressing yourself out in the world, but also just the way that other people experience you. You know, like, if I dress a certain way, I get way more attention than if I dress a different way, you know. And then we get to like go out and feel that, how we're being received by other people, and like being able to have that experience and then notice what feels good and like what makes you feel like your best self. You're like, oh, I can do that on purpose, you know, I can dress like this all the time and go out and be this version of me and have these kind of interactions that I desire, you know. Like, if you go out and you realize that people are being super friendly and like really nice to you, and everyone wants to strike up a conversation for whatever reason, now you're like more easy to talk to and stuff. And they're like, oh, this is great. Let's, you know, do that intentionally. Be like, this is the kind of, you know, style that makes me feel my best. And then play with that character, that like avatar out in the world. And yes. That was so. Yeah, so I'm glad that the conversation got there, because I was like, that's what I was thinking about this morning.
You know, it's interesting, because I love the metaphor of like the avatar or the character, because really, like, you can just gamify life. Like, and see yourself as someone playing in the game of life, right? And one way that we do it, like we mentioned here, was with clothing. Another thing that like super came up for me is that often people will, with clothing and just with any form of their expression, they'll kind of compartmentalize like parts into parts. They'll take the full spectrum of their human. Like, I want you to imagine that a human being is an entire pizza pie, right? And what happens is because of the culture that we live in that feeds you bullshit, like you've got to be professional in work environments and you can't be sexy and spiritual. You can't. And if you're starting a business, like don't talk about your woo-woo stuff because no one's going to pay for that, right? Like, so what people start to do is they start to only show one slice of the whole pie and they fragment themselves. They literally fragment themselves. So what I tell people is like, also imagine a mirror. Imagine you're looking at a mirror. What people are seeing, instead of seeing the actual untainted, pristine reflection of who you are and the nuance and infiniteness of all the paradoxes that live inside of you, like, what they're seeing is like, imagine I threw a rock in the mirror and now it's just fragmented and shattered. That's what they see. And that's what you see in you when you're like thinking that you need to hide something, right? I love bringing clothing into the picture because one way that I used to fragment myself a lot is I used to hide my woo-woo side. I used to never talk about energy and frequency. I also read tarot cards. Like, I used to never show that because I was scared that people would think I'm crazy and like that I would lose clients, right? But then instead of going, I'm either getting clients or reading tarot cards, I decided to take out the or and put an and in between that sentence. And now it became, oh no, I'm receiving clients and I read tarot cards. I'm professional and sexy. You know, now I'm experimenting with showing my sensual, like really magnetic side on Instagram, for example. Like, I've even gotten banned on, like, I've had videos get banned on TikTok because they were flagged for being like sensual, even though I was literally just being sensual in my body. I wasn't like showing anything. Yeah. And that just goes to show, right? Like that when we expand, other people are going to like receive it a certain way. But I mean, here's the thing, you know, there's the discomfort of like me expanding and like TikTok banning my video because they thought it was too sexual and not appropriate. But at least I'm being myself and I have that satisfaction. Or the discomfort of like sitting in the little comfort zone bubble of the rule books you're following that other people gave you about how you should express. And then the discomfort of knowing that your soul is like pissed off at you. Mm. Both things are going to be uncomfortable. So you're either going to feel embarrassment as you continue to expand, which feels like shit. And bravery, which also feels like shit. And courage, which also feels like shit. Or you're going to feel soggy, disappointed, inauthentic, disingenuous, and constantly fake. I mean, just which discomfort sounds sexier to you? Come on.
Oh my gosh. As you've like become more or like stepped more into your like authentic self in like public forums and stuff, you know, embracing all those different dimensions of your being, how much has that affected your business? Because I know you've been talking like you've been like making money these days, right? Like,
yeah, I'm like, I mean, literally, when I god, so I mean, I could just I've blown my mind. I went from like maybe having one or two clients at a time every few months to in my life coaching container to being fully booked. And like, I mean, I actually have one more spot left, but like, holy shit, you know? And I doubled my price too from that old price that I was only landing 1 to 3 clients. I doubled my price and I'm fully booked, right? So it's like, what? Like, it was a quantum leap, which is, again, what people are seeking is an experience in their nervous system of like being safe to exist. Like when people say they want more money, that's why they want more money, because they think it'll make them feel safer. When people say they want this kind of partner with this size cock and this kind of abs and this amount of muscle, and that he has a job and shit going for him and he has money, what they're seeking is safety to just let go, right? And as a life coach, like, because I feel safe to exist in my own presence, like, I date myself, I spend time with myself. The way that I talk to myself when I'm triggered or traumatized isn't like self-flagellation. It's actually loving and open and nurturing and accepting. People feel my magnetic energy. Like, I don't even have to speak words. I can walk into a room and people are like, something about that guy. And that's a compliment I get all the time. Like, I just had to come say hi to you because I don't know, like, hi. And in my mind, I know what's happening, right? And because I started actually creating safety in the places that I felt were dangerous to express, people were attracted to that because that's what they want. That's what they want. They want to feel safe to expand. And, you know, I think a lot of people look at me and they're like, oh my God, he has it figured out. But here's the thing. I still have a human brain, by the way. I'm not an alien, contrary to popular belief. I have a human brain. That voice is still there. The voice of the inner mean girl, inner critic, devil on the shoulder, yeah. Whatever you want to call it. Right? Just my relationship to it is different. I know how to engage with it in a way that makes it feel safe, instead of like being like, oh, you shouldn't be beating yourself up, Carlos, which actually like it literally, I want you to imagine that the voice of the inner critic is like a beehive, right? And you can either just let the beehive be there and love on it anyways, which will make the bees not attack you. Or you can beat it with a stick to try and get rid of it, and the bees will fucking wreck your life.
Oh, that's such a good one.
Literally, what like whenever you're being mean to yourself and you react to that mean voice by saying, fuck off, like you shouldn't be here, you're literally like disturbing the beehive, and now the thoughts are going to get stronger and you're going to get paralyzed in your body and you're fucked, right? When I started doing like really embodying this work, dressing, you know, a certain way, I started making way more money and working way less hours too. Way less. I actually make way more money than I do now. I work maybe like 10 to 20 hours a week. And I make just as much, if not way more money than I did working about 50 hours a week full time as an admissions counselor for a university. Like, and that says something, you know, that speaks to possibility. And I was going to say something and I lost it, but I trust that it'll come back.
Yeah, it'll find its time. Fuck, that's inspiring. That like just gets me excited about my life and whatever, whatever direction we're going.
I actually just remembered what it was.
Yes, what was it? Let's hear it.
Oh my God, I'm literally losing it again. I'm telling you, I have a brain that just is in 11,000 places at once. And I just lost it again. Holy shit. That's fine. But see, to anyone listening, let this be evidence that you really don't have to like speak perfectly and perform as this perfect ass fucking robot that's totally unrelatable. I promise you that people that are listening right now that like have ADHD or have a neurodivergent nervous system are like feeling like heaviness melt off of their bodies just because I forgot what I was about to say twice and owned it instead of beating myself up for it.
Oh, I hope so. Oh, that's awesome. Fuck, what the heck was I going to say there? Oh, jeez. Yeah, I don't know. I'm like really excited for when, okay, I'm going to do that fucking meditation like tonight, you know, like when we're done this podcast, I'm doing that thing. Cause the idea of like releasing or the trauma response so that I can just like have experiences that are going to help propel me forward into the expansive direction that I want to go. That's going to be fucking sweet. because I have like that need, that like super, super strong, unignorable desire to live as like the most authentic version of myself, you know, in like all moments of my life is, that's probably feels like the most important thing for me. So it's like everything that I do is in kind of in service of that. And so that's like why the podcast and I don't know. So this is like one of those practices that I do. That's like a thing that's embarrassing because I know that I'm going to embarrass myself plenty of times, but every time I'm just like, just post it, just share it anyways, put it out there. And so that's fun. And it's great because it also allows me to, I had a guest on named Wayne Symington. He was a guy that I met in South Africa, and he shared the story of like his shark attack experience, and then also just like gave all kinds of really just really great kind of, he talked a lot about just like the nature of us being a spiritual being and like his path to like really knowing that and like his relationship with God and all that. And it was so fucking awesome. But what was I gonna say? Oh yeah. So he said to me that what he noticed, he was like listening to a podcast episode and he was telling me that he's like, what you do, Latea, is you reflect other people's light back to them. And I was like, that's like, I didn't necessarily know that that's what I was doing, but I was like, that's the best fucking thing. How cool is that? Like, cause I'll have people on my podcast. Cause I'm like, you're awesome. Like the world, you just deserve to just be like, if anybody that I have on my podcast, it's like, I love talking to you so much that I just like want to share that love with like, you know, at least someone else. Cause it's so great. And so that's what I get to do here. And it's also a practice of just being embarrassed sometimes, but just keep it going.
Okay, so you literally, I'm just gonna echo what he was saying, and you literally couldn't be able to see awesome in other people if it didn't already exist within you. It's just not possible within the nervous system. I want you to consider like vibration and vibrational match, you know, for a moment, right? Like there's, when you know something's not a vibrational match for you, like it's just not even possible for you to say yes to it, right? Like, for example, like drinking gasoline, right? Yeah. Like it's just not, like it's not possible because there's no like part of your body inside that knows how to process gasoline. It's the same thing when we look up to somebody. It's the exact same thing. So if I see someone and I'm like, damn, they're so expanded and so genuine and so expressed, and they take risks, it's because some part of you is already doing that too. You know, maybe not to the level they are, but there's literally nerve cells in your brain and in your nervous system, like neurons and pathways that can recognize that.
Yeah, and you have to be like in the vicinity to be able
to. Exactly. So, girl, you're in the ballpark, sis. Like, oh, yeah. You know, you got Raven Royce on this podcast. Like, it's because you match our vibe. You match our frequency, you know?
Yes. I'm so excited. So exciting to me.
Like, exactly. Like, even the listeners, like, if you're listening to this podcast, it takes a certain kind of person to listen to something like this. Like, if you're looking at Latea or myself or anybody that you listen to on any podcast and you're like, oh my God, like, I love what they're saying and I wish I could be like them. It's because some part of you already is like them. So give yourself permission to see that. And you can even turn this into a journaling prompt. Like take someone that you love and admire that you want to embody more of like your version of who they are, right? Like, and ask yourself, like, what is it about them that like lights me up so much? And how could it be possible that I'm showing even 1% of this quality already? And literally force yourself to write down an answer to that question. Your brain is going to tell you, this is bullshit. You're fake, blah, blah, blah. And that's how you know you're doing it right. If your brain is telling you that, that's how you know you're doing it right. Because you're creating new expansion into unfamiliar ways of existing that you've never experienced before.
Ooh. That's so good. That's funny that you said that, because that was actually similar to like a writing prompt that Jordan Peterson had on his like self-authoring website, like his, which is just life coaching really in another form, where he just like helps people script out their own like best version of their lives on purpose. And one of the things is like, write down 5 people who inspire you or that you admire or like respect or want to be like. And then for each person, write down 5 qualities that they have, and then look for like the common qualities that all 5 of those people have. Cause then if there's any like crossover, you're like, those are things that you really want to be like. And then you look for that, those things in yourself, and then you nurture those things and like grow them. And then you actually become those people. But you already have all that inside you, you know, and it's like, you're drawn to those people for a reason. Which is cool, because it's like they get to reflect back to you what it is, like what it looks like if you like water those seeds or whatever, you know, like it's a cool moment when you have that like shift in perspective of when you can look at people that maybe like you could either envy them or you could be inspired by them, you know, and you, when you see people who are like living their best life and you're like, because sometimes you can be like, fuck those people, right? Like they're successful, they're attractive, they have lots of money, they, you know, they have great relationships. And then it's easy for people to like hate on them for that. Or you can see that as like possibility in living form. Like this is what happens if you like recognize your own possibility and like take action and move in that direction. And it's not like, and anybody can do that. It's just a matter of learning to like harness your own energy. But that's what I'm learning is that like the real fuel comes from authenticity. It's like the more that you can actually be true, you know, the fucking cliche thing, you know, like it's the truth. Like you just have to be yourself. You got to figure out who the fuck you are, who you want to be, and then be that.
Yeah. You know, actually I love what you're saying. There's something that I also want to like give an aside to with the authenticity movement, which almost sounds like a juxtaposition of like what I've said up until this point, but there's an intention behind this. So every single human being in this moment that's alive and breathing and existing is being authentic. And I'm going to explain why. Because that's like weird, right? Like what? Like then what's the point of like trying to be more authentic?
Yeah. How do you do it if you're already doing it?
Right. Like I know when I first heard this concept, I was like, no, like I'm obviously not being myself. But here's the thing, in every present moment, in every instant of the now, you are expressing what your nervous system can handle based off of the thoughts, feelings, actions, beliefs, experiences, and genetic DNA combination that has brought you up until that point. So every moment, how we are acting out in the world is a combination of those things. So if you're not expanding like someone you look up to, you're still being authentic. You're always being authentic. This idea, I'm not being authentic, like that sentence, whenever it passes through your brain, like just permission slip to never believe it again. Like to just be like, look, I hear you, brain. Thank you for sharing this with me. But this isn't what we believe about ourselves anymore. And here's why. And here's why. And just teach yourself to question that. Because when someone says I'm being inauthentic, like that generates a feeling in the body that constricts you. It does not expand you. Like literally, you listening to this, like if you close your eyes, and if you're driving, please don't do this. But like if you close your eyes and take a deep breath and say out loud, I'm being inauthentic, does it create an emotion that expands you or constricts you? 9 times out of 10, it constricts you. And when you constrict with what you're saying, like the actions that you then take will prove that thought true. So if you're saying I'm being inauthentic and it makes you feel anxious, constricted, or insufficient, not enough, right? The actions that you then take are beat yourself up, compare yourself to other people that you think are being more authentic to you, right? Maybe you avoid by scrolling on social media. So, and over time you repeat these actions, the result you create is literally that thought, I'm not being authentic. So that sentence, just like delete it from your consciousness forever. You are always being authentic. And here's the thing, when you get to the next level, whatever the fuck that means, and whatever that means to you, there's gonna be a next level. Like the person that you are in this moment, your past self used to pray for. Have you considered that today? There's so much that you have in this moment that you 10 years ago was literally trying to manifest. Have you given yourself permission to have, to feel what it feels like to have? Right? Yeah, period.
I'm like, oh my God, you have no idea how true that is for me personally, which is hilarious. Yeah. I really love that what you just said about noticing if something makes you feel expanded or constricted.
Yeah.
Because that is like a very simple way to like make decisions at all times, I guess. You know, like say something out loud and then notice how it feels in your body and be like, okay, well, either we're gonna think more of that or we're gonna think something different. And I am going to make a note of that to keep that in my mind, like for all the time. Oh, that's a good one. Yeah, but it's fuck for my own life. To actually look around and notice all the things that are exactly like you just said, like, you know, 10 years ago, I was like, I fucking wish I had those things. It's like, yeah, bitch, that's the life that you're living now. So, which is great to have that ability to like look back at the past and remember how you thought back then and then look at now and then think about and then use that to project into the future, because you have evidence that you do get what you want. It's happening always and it's going to continue to happen and it's only going to keep going. So
literally no. And like, you know, you're like right now you're here actually doing this podcast and recording it. And that started with past self that had the thought, like, it's possible for me. You know, so often we look at our past self and like get upset that they weren't doing what we're doing now, which makes no fucking sense. Like, it really doesn't. It doesn't. Because you're only capable of doing what you're capable of doing in the present moment. Like, period, right? And everything starts with a thought. Everything, right? So, like, past you, like, who was like, I want to have my own podcast one day. Like, oh my God, thank you to her because she went through all the healing required to be prepared to actually show up and hold a container like this. That's a big fucking deal, you know? Or like, anybody really, anybody listening to this, like, if you're human, you've received something that you've always wanted. Like, what is that thing? Like, I even like asking myself that instead of just asking myself what I'm grateful for, because for me, like gratitude journaling and writing, I am grateful feels very robotic to me. If it works for you, amazing, right? Like, I'm not saying my way is better. What I'm inviting you to do is find what works for you, right? I often ask myself, what do I have now that I've always wanted?
That's a good question.
Like, that's my gratitude prompt. That shit fucks me up. Oh my God. No, and here's another beautiful exercise, another way of practicing gratitude journaling that I literally stole from Ariana Grande's song. All right. She has a song called Just Like Magic. That entire song is a manifestation guide. Listen to it and follow it. It's literally the only manifestation guide you need. All right. You don't need to complicate it with another strategy or no. Listen to it's a manifestation guide. It gets to be that easy. It gets to be that easy. But one thing she says is, no, 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 wrote a love letter to heaven. Like she talks about writing a love letter to heaven. And I looked at and I literally wrote a love letter to heaven and I started crying.
Oh.
Well, I was writing to God because that's how I talk about God. Like, that's me. You know, I used to fake say universe when that was never what resonated with me because I thought that that's what I was supposed to do if I was like fully expressed in spiritual, right? Like, yeah, you know, and I wrote this love letter to God and I was like, Dear God, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to hold space in the way that I do. Thank you for expanding me. Thank you for helping me here. Thank you for giving me this, that, and the other. And I was in fucking tears. I mean, even my eyes tear up as I think about it, you know? And yeah, there's so much we're talking about here that, like, literally, look, I know one of you listening to this is gonna be like, I must do everything in this podcast or I'm not good enough. No, bestie. If you took even 1% of an insight or 1% of an energetic shift, let that be enough. Let enough.
Drops the
Literally, bro. Yo, TED Talks, where are you at?
Oh, yeah, good. Do you like to practice writing out those thank yous, like for things that, you know, things not yet manifest, like thank you for, you know, the shit that you want to have in 10 years, you know, or do you generally do it like thank you for the things that you already have so far in this?
Sometimes. Here's my thing. That approach can feel very fake if you're not in a like high frequency in that moment, right? Like if you're not feeling elevated, or I'll speak for myself. When I'm not feeling elevated and I try to like thank the universe for like the future that hasn't happened yet, it feels like I'm gaslighting myself. So I, the worst thing, and that's the thing, I feel like a lot of people, they do that with affirmations too. They try to tell themselves, I am magnetic, but their body just can't believe it. If you tell yourself an affirmation that you don't believe at least a little bit, and it feels blocked in your body, it actually can strengthen the opposite of it, right? Like your brain is going to be like, see, that's evidence that you're a fraud, you know?
That's
So
why it's good to be like incremental with it, right? Like you want to like write something, oh, you
yeah.
know.
So imagine, like, let's say you're trying to believe I am magnetic, right? And you say it and it feels fake. And what you actually believe is I'm repulsive, right? Like a great way to like take the next, I want you to imagine a ladder, and at the bottom of the ladder is I am repulsive, and at the top of the ladder is I am magnetic. You can't just skip to I am magnetic without going through every step. You have to like actually take every step. So sometimes the next step is I'm open to disbelieving this thought. And then maybe the step after that is I'm learning how to see myself as magnetic. And then after, and then that feels real. So you say that one, you say that affirmation and you take action off of it. And then after that, you go, okay, okay, I see that I'm becoming a little bit more magnetic than I was a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And then that's the new affirmation. And then that feels more expansive and more powerful and real in your body. And then it becomes, others see me, are starting to see me as magnetic. And then that feels real. And you're mm-hmm. like, oh shit. And you take action to find evidence for that. And then, yeah. And then after that one, you're like, I am magnetic. And it feels like truth in your body. Yeah.
Mm. That's good. Yeah. And even sometimes it's like, I know at least one person who, you know, is drawn to me. That makes me feel a little magnetic. You
exactly.
Know? That's proof. It's real.
Yes. Literally how it starts. Exact what you just did right there. That's exactly the process. Mm-hmm. And the question that you asked me was, oh, the thanking for the future, right?
Oh, yeah.
So the reason I am careful with that one is because I don't like that feeling of like gaslighting myself. It starts making manifestation feel like homework. And if it feels like homework, it's just not it for me, at least.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, I just don't do shit that feels like homework anymore. Like,
fuck yes, that's the secret.
Yeah. So if I'm feeling really elevated, I had a powerful inflow morning routine, I'm feeling turned on by life and I have a lot of momentum, then thanking for the future like that feels real for me in the moment, right? Mm. But if I'm like in a funk or whatever, like, you know, I'm not going to force myself to do gratitude for the future if I don't even feel gratitude for the present moment. Like,
fuck yeah.
I want you to imagine, you know, that you're dating someone and they come up to you and they're crying and they're like, I feel like shit. And then you just tell them, go gratitude journal. Just thought of that, like, make you want to vomit a little bit on the inside.
Yeah.
That's literally what gaslighting is, like, in a nutshell. It's like you are literally saying fuck you to yourself when you force yourself to do things like gratitude journal when you're in a funk or when you're sad. Mm. Or, you know.
Mm. Do you ever like to use like dance or movement as a way to, I don't know, like not just like shake off, you know, the bad juju, but like transmute it into something like a different kind of emotion?
Yes, I do. So a lot of people don't know this, but I'm also a dancer, but I recently had knee surgery. So I've been not dancing as much and or like learning like tutting and stuff, but with my upper body. But I want to highlight what you said, dance to transmute rather than to shake off the bad things. If you are dancing to shake off the bad shit, you're essentially gaslighting yourself again.
Mm.
So how to transmute, right? Like lead into gold, right? Like sadness into joy or whatever. Or sadness into ease and flow, anxiety into peace, right? Like, it involves you saying yes to your current emotional state first. So let's say I'm dancing and I'm feeling really anxious. I might ask myself, how would I breathe if I was breathing like anxiety would breathe? And how would I move if anxiety was the one moving? So it's like, I'm turning the anxiety into the dance. I'm not trying to avoid the anxiety by forcing myself to dance happy. No, I'm dancing like anxiety would dance. And then that literally moves the cortisol and the chemicals and the hormones through your nervous system. And that's what the transmutation process is. It's not like this fucking, like I'm waving a magic wand. It feels that way. It feels like I'm waving a magic wand and I'm healing, but it actually is a very scientific process that's happening in your body, right? So you can do this with the breath. You can do this with dance. You know, I'm now learning how to do it with you, Latea, in singing, right? But it's like, it's not about using the tool to say fuck you to yourself. Yourself. It's about using the tool to accept yourself, to say yes to yourself. And literally, like, if I'm feeling anxious as fuck, for example, I'll literally close my eyes and imagine that I'm saying yes to anxiety. Like, I'll be like, yes, yes, anxiety, you belong. You belong. You're not a problem that needs to be fixed. You belong here. And that, yeah, just try it, y'all.
Fuck. I'm going to try that. Because as you saw earlier in our voice coach class, I was like, we had this moment where we were all singing kind of like together, but our microphones were on mute and Raven was kind of guiding us. She would like sing the line and then we would sing it back, and then she would sing a line and then we would sing it back. And then she was like, all right, now we're going to take turns and like everybody's going to sing. And because I was just, I'm sure she was like, just like, Latea, you go first. And as soon as it was like my time, I just, what response would you say, like froze? But you can see, like, it's like, I don't know. It's like, I have the sensation of like my spirit like wants to come out and be expressed. And then like, but the body like literally holds it in. And and then, you know, like when you cry and like you like kind of hyperventilate cry, and there's like sharp inhale, sharp exhale, sharp inhale, sharp exhale. And it's like this physical opposition happening between like the body and the spirit almost, or like, and it's such a crazy experience. Oh my gosh. And what I really appreciate the way that you've like integrated those two things into the way that you explain things and help us like understand them, like understanding what's actually happening in your body, like at a physiological level, like with your hormones and with your nervous system and all that stuff. But you're also like teaching people how to like access and express their spirit, you know? And so I fucking love that you had that experience of like, I can be spiritual and I can be professional. I can, you know, because yeah. For me, I have like, I haven't been able to like integrate like the spiritual and the physical. Like, I just kind of, I'll like lean too far in either direction, but it's like, no, merge them together. It's all the same thing, you know, like, so I'm really inspired by the way that you express, the way that you explain things, like talking about the actual functions in your brain and in your body, but in terms of like expressing yourself at, you know, from not just a biological level.
100%. And like, you know, just the example with spirituality and science, right? A lot of people are like, you're either spiritual or you're scientific. But what a lot of people don't understand is that the same way you can't separate heads and tails from a coin, you cannot separate spiritual and scientific, because it's literally a coin. So you're trying to fragment something that's never going to go away. You're trying, like, let's say you're trying to be to come off scientific and hide your spiritual side, hide the fact that you wear quartz crystals and like to read tarot cards and pray, right? Like, what you're doing is you're literally like, I want you to imagine like a rubber band, and you're pulling this rubber band in two separate directions, and it feels horrendous inside your body. It's performative. It's exhausting as fuck, right? But what a lot of people don't understand is that as a human being, you have infinite personalities. Mm-hmm. Infinite personalities, and a lot of them conflict with each other. But you can hold that paradox and honor every voice in your head. Yes, I'm low-key crazy, right? You can honor every voice in your head, every part of you that's asking to be nurtured and to be shared and to be exposed, while honoring all the parts that are in paradox with that one, right? So like, you can nurture your and share your spirituality while still honoring your inner scientist. It's not either or. It's yes and. We get to have it all, baby.
Fuck yeah. Oh, nice. Like the human's the house and there's a party and everyone's invited, but like you don't have to hang out with who you don't want to hang out with, but we're all allowed. We're all allowed to be here, you
Exactly. That's a beautiful metaphor. And that's often
know?
how I talk to my emotions too. I pretend that my emotions are little separate entities with voices that
Yeah.
just want to be heard. So I can invite anxiety into the party and make anxiety feel included. That doesn't mean I have to agree with what it's telling me. Right? So if anxiety is telling me, like, don't go live on Instagram or don't MC that event that you've been invited to MC because you're afraid, I can be like, hey, but fear, you're invited to that party with me. And I'm going to show you that we can do it even though we're afraid. It's different than like, you shouldn't be afraid, Carlos. Something's wrong.
Jeez. Oh, that's hilarious. That's so good. That's such a fucking good tool. Was that the R or the A? Recognize when you like name the thing, you
Yeah.
know, anxiety. Like now I know what it is. And now it's not so big. It's not this like infinite fucking weight on me. It's just anxiety, you know, like you put it in one word, it's a manageable thing now. Is that what? Okay, can you walk me through the that acronym again?
Yeah, so it's recognize, allow,
Allow.
investigate, and nurture.
Oh,
And it's
and if
RAIN, right?
we
The acronym.
rain, you link that into the house party environment or analogy. Let's see. So you recognize, you're like, that's anxiety. Allow, come on in, you're invited to the party. Investigate, get to know anxiety a little bit. Maybe they're not so bad, you know, and then nurture. And maybe you'll play a game of beer pong or something, you know? I
Yeah.
don't
Oh my God.
know.
Metaphors are so powerful.
They're
There's,
so fun, too.
yeah. And it's just, I could tell you're just a walking piece of poetry because, like, me and you have just been slinging metaphors, like, if we're metaphor drug dealers. See, there was another metaphor right there. Right? Like,
Just slaying it up.
yo, slinging metaphors like I'm a metaphor dealer. Hey! Oh my God.
Yeah, Raven will be so proud.
Oh
Oh my gosh, that's the
my God.
best.
Call me the Al Capone of metaphors. For those of you who don't know, Al Capone is Scarface, cocaine dealer. Anyways.
Oh goodness. Do you write poetry?
I've recently been exploring it again. I did a lot when I was a little kid. And I mean, I wrote a poem during the voice codes call that we were on earlier. And yeah, I'm just working. Right now I'm in the process of cultivating creativity as like a habit. And it already is a habit, right? Like my brain's almost trying to trick me into thinking that I haven't been practicing art and creativity, but literally that's what I do on Instagram and TikTok is I create art for people to enjoy, like with my words, with the way that I speak. I'm just learning how to infuse that commitment and that consistency to like singing, to poetry, because I do want to write. I tried writing my first song like a month ago, and I was just not having fun with the process. So I put it down for a bit, but I think I'm ready to explore that more. It's
Yeah,
just
tell
what
that film
happens,
more.
Nathria, is that the moment I tell myself, all right, I'm gonna sit down to write poetry, it's like my brain takes it too seriously.
Yep, same. That's my thing.
You know, but if I just tell myself, like, oh no, I'm just free writing bullshit, and it's supposed to sound really shitty. Like, if I like, let's say I'm about to freestyle rap because I love to freestyle rap, right? Like, if I'm about to freestyle rap, I will prompt myself and say, mess up on purpose, make this really shitty, and it ends up coming out amazing. Or it comes out shitty, but I don't make it a problem when it does. You get what I'm saying? So it's like,
Yeah.
and I think I just need to apply that to the songwriting and poetry process as well.
That's great. You like either are gonna meet your expectation or you're gonna fucking supersede it or whatever. You know, it's like either I did exactly what I intended to do or I blew my mind. You know, if you're like mess up on purpose and then you
Yes.
just don't, you just kill. Oh, that's good. I really want to start writing jokes. That's like a thing that for just keeps I've never tried it, you know, I've never like tried to like actually write jokes, but I feel like I might love it. So
Oh my
that I'm gonna use that to like when because I because you know it's always so hard to like want to do something when you're like, well, what if it's shitty? You know, I want to write these jokes, but what if they're not funny? What if they're just shit? You know, and then it's immediately not fun. Then it becomes homework, right? Like, what if I don't get a good grade?
Yeah.
Whereas if you just sit down, I like that a lot, and you're
Yeah.
just like, we're just gonna write bullshit.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck comes up. Maybe it'll be funny, maybe not.
Yeah.
But
The more shitty jokes you write, the more good jokes you write. The more
that's right.
shitty poetry you write, the more good poetry you write. It's literally a numbers game, right? Like the more no's you get, the more yeses you get mathematically, right? Like, but so many people are trying to like get perfect to like guarantee a yes or guarantee a good song, but like creativity doesn't work that way. Like creativity is a relationship with an energy that's not yours, right? Like, but we're trying to treat it as like something we're forcing and squeezing out of ourselves like a sponge when it's really about like listening. Like, it's about like, okay, can I slow down enough to where I can hear and feel how my current expression wants to share itself and let it come out messy, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. I don't know if if it was something I heard. Oh, fuck, I wish I had. I don't remember the exact quote, but basically the essence of what was said was that creating anything isn't about creating something for other people to enjoy. It's about like creating something to enjoy when you do it. And really it's like a relationship with God, you know, like you're just channeling spirit, like in that moment, like you're saying, like it's really about listening. It's like making yourself open and available to like receive and channel the art that wants to come through you in whatever form.
I just got a download.
Ah, let's hear
So I want you to imagine that creativity or artistic expression, however you want to see it, like inspiration, artistic inspiration. Let's just call it creativity with a capital C for the sake of this
it.
metaphor.
Like it.
I want you to imagine that creativity is someone you're dating, right? This is how so many people approach creativity. Oh, what you're giving me is not enough. Like, that's not cool. I don't like it. Like, come on, I need something sexier. I need you to be sexier. I need you to do more. I need you to be better. And how do you think creativity, like, how do you think the bad bitch of creativity is gonna respond to that? Creativity doesn't need you. Creativity doesn't need to like be your friend. Creativity will break up with your ass right fucking there. And now you have to go win creativity back and win their trust back and apologize and forgive yourself and then go through that process, right? Like, but what if you date creativity? What if you're like creativity at your pace? Take your time, my love. Creativity, oh my God, is there a way that I can support you today so that you feel more open, right? Like, if your nipples
Oh my
aren't,
God, Carlos, this
you
is so good.
know, like if your nipples aren't tingling at the thought of talking to your creativity like that, like, but literally this is like how I noticed like the artists that always have something to give is that that's how they treat their creativity. And sometimes you'll talk to creativity and try to fuck her and she's not in the mood. She's like, actually, I'm not in the mood. So you take a break. You don't force it. You go rest. You watch some fucking Netflix without beating yourself up about it. Like, you go eat some ice cream. You meditate if you want to. Like, or you just sit and do nothing and scroll if that's your fuck yeah in the moment, right? Like, and then creativity is like, oh, thank you for like honoring that I wasn't feeling it in that moment. Like, I trust you more. So here's an artistic idea that I'm gonna channel through you. Oh my God, that
Oh
was
my
like a mega
God,
code.
that
Dude, that was like a code right there. What the fuck?
was one. Oh my gosh. So, the clip. Fuck, creativity. Everything gets a capital first letter now.
No, that's, I tell my clients that all the time. I'm like, capitalize your emotions, like the first letter, so that you see it as a person rather than something outside of, like something that's needs to be fixed. You know, that's something that we've also been taught a lot in the post-industrial revolution, post-Catholic and Christian takeover of the planet, is that we don't give things spirit. Right. And sacred tribes think everything's an entity. Like the laptop, the camera that we're using to record this right now is an entity, and it's giving us permission to be used. Right. Like, and it doesn't belong to us. We're in relationship with it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same thing with our emotions. Our emotions are like little entities that pass by, little energies that pass by, but we treat them as like a thing with no life. And this is a very common thing in the nervous systems and psyches of the American and Western culture, is thinking that they own everything, thinking that that this is for them to take or to change or to fix, right? But when we can be in relationship with life rather than trying to like control life as a thing or a tool, like then life becomes a really beautiful, unfolding, delicious art that feels present and nurturing and enchanting. And at the end of the day, that's what everyone wants. Everyone who's trying to control life, again, they're just trying to feel safe and they're trying to feel nurtured and enchanted. Right. And you have that option now. Like, you don't need money to feel safe and enchanted. You don't need a soulmate to feel like you're being dated. You can actually date yourself. And the soulmate, you can still desire the soulmate. I'm not saying don't desire that. You can still desire the money. I'm not saying don't desire that. But it's like, can you desire without needing that desire to fill an emotional need and giving it your power instead of like owning that you actually have the fucking power to decide like how you are in relationship to yourself without an external force.
Oh my god.
Sis, we are over here. You know.
I'm so happy right now.
I know that someone is listening to this and is thinking, holy fuck, this shit changed my life. I'm so grateful Latea and Carlos are having a conversation right now and recording it.
Right? Oh, so yeah. Good. Oh my gosh. I want to like draw creativity.
Yeah.
I want to like draw things as characters.
Yeah. Like foreplay with creativity, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like ask creativity for consent and permission. You know, like creativity, do I have permission to engage with you right now? Actually, no, I'm fucking mad at you. Okay, I'll give you your space, babe.
I'll just put this blindfold on and you can come tend to me when you're ready. Come play with me when it suits you.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Oh, another thing that I love that you said, Carlos, was if everyone's not winning, then I'm losing.
Oh my God, bro.
And that is like, I was like, oh, that I want to, that's how I want to be, you know? And, yeah. Oh shit, I had a thought. Oh yeah. Just contemplating the idea of like comparison and, you know, looking around and observing other people around, you know, and comparing myself to them, because it's natural that, you know, we always were like, well, here's where I am and here's where they are, and we make comparisons and stuff. But then also having the awareness that everybody is I, you know, like when everyone talks about themselves, it's I, and we're all I, and we're all like, you know, I don't know what to say, derivatives. We're not like a, but we're like, yeah, like we are life from different points of view, experiencing itself and just expanding in every fucking direction. And it's just hilarious to me, this idea of comparison, and that I struggle with it so much, or like imitation. Oh, I talked to Raven about this on the podcast, and maybe I would actually be curious to like hear what your thoughts are on like differentiating between like imitation and inspiration, you know, like drawing inspiration from someone versus trying to imitate what it is that they're doing that you like.
Totally. Well, imitation, first of all, sometimes to learn a skill, like imitation is actually necessary. So let's just de-shame imitation for a second. Like where that becomes like perverted and distorted and like dark in not a healthy kind of dark way is when we use imitation and like take it as credit for our own. But like, it's actually okay to imitate. Like throughout this entire session that we've been talking, I've dropped knowledge that my life coaches gave me. Art comes in taking what inspires you and filtering it through you, through the lens of you, right? And I think permission slip to imitate while you're learning, you know, like permission slip to like, if you are learning how to sing, to copy a singer until you find your own voice, as long as you're giving credit to the person that's delivering the medicine to you, or the art, or the transmission. Inspiration, you know, what comes up for me when you ask that is like, inspiration needs an environment to like feel safe to enter you, right? Like thinking of it as an entity. And if you're like chasing it the same way you chase someone that you're dating, that energy is like very repulsive. So again, inspiration is really about like actually listening, not doing nothing, but like actually listening, you know, actually like imagine closing your eyes and looking at the black behind your eyelids as if a TV is about to turn on there. That's what I mean by listening, right? Like, can you listen to your internal environment with your ears as if you're trying to listen to every sound that's happening in your body, as if someone's going to start talking any minute now? This is like what I mean by listening. And inspiration strikes more when you can understand, like when you can let yourself be shitty while it unfolds. So like, let's say you get an inspirational hit for like how to write a song. And I'm going to share, when I was trying to write my first song recently, I'm going to share why this project actually was a failure. And a failure is a good thing, right? Because I learned the lesson after I failed. But the way that I was approaching it was that I was trying to force inspiration. I was trying to make it sound a certain way, make it sound like artists that inspire me, right? Instead of letting it come out like really shitty, like, and make no sense and not rhyme and just writing that, right? Because that's how inspiration comes in. Inspiration comes in raw and messy. It's almost like you take the raw mineral and then you smelt it and take out the impurities and turn it into like a gold ore bar. It's the same thing with inspiration. Like, it comes to you like a dirty raw mineral, and you just have to get all of that dirt out and put it on the fucking paper. Put the dirt on the fucking paper. And then from that dirt, approach the editing process with grace and with love to smelt it into like a gold ore. But a lot of people are trying to edit before it's even on the fucking paper, which is literally what I was doing, by the way.
Like, or like carving it out, you know, like you get a big block of whatever and you start to carve it out, and like it's not going to represent the final product at all in the beginning, you know, like you have to just like get the chunks out of the way until you reveal like a general shape, and then you'll go in and like add in some, I don't know, a little bit more detail, but not detail at all, and then you go in with like a really fine chisel, and then eventually you'll sand it and stuff. But if you like start hacking away at the thing and you're like, this is shit, it's like you haven't even gotten to even close to where the thing is, you know. It comes in very rough form at the beginning. I really like that. And that comes back to like not judging something before it's, while it's like in the process of creation. You get that a lot with painting too. Like when you start a painting, there's so many like layers and stages that it goes through before it even begins to like start to resemble what it is that it's going to become. Mm-hmm. And for myself personally, like I have so many, you know, started and stopped paintings because I just like judge it before. And as soon as like judgment comes into play, it just blocks, it halts all creativity from flowing into the experience because it's like, well, it's not allowed here. You know, that's, it's like creativity started cooking something and it was going to be incredible. And you're like, it smells disgusting, you know? Yeah. And she's like, now she's mad at you. She's like, okay, well, make your own food then, you know?
Like, no, and it's like, I love that metaphor you said, like you're cooking food and you put things together and it ends up smelling disgusting. Like, you know, so what? That means that you learn that that combination doesn't go well together. So now the next time you won't do it again. Like, mm-hmm. It's still a win. It's still a win.
Yes. Yeah. You learned something. Win or learn is easy to forget. It's hilarious, like how many incredible things I've like learned and how many processes I have. And like, I feel like I have a lot of answers to my own questions and my own struggles and stuff, but still. The human brain is like, it's very active.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
I have a question about, because I know that you said you don't like when things feel like homework and, you know, when people are like very regimented and in their like self-improvement kind of thing. Then I was wondering if you have like daily rituals or routines that you do, or does that feel too rigid?
I do. And the way that I approach it is I have the routine of a container that has an intention, right? So for example, instead of having a morning routine that's like the same every day, I literally wake up and I'm like, first thing I'm going to do is invite in the sacred, whatever that looks like for me in this moment. So that might look like pulling a tarot card and then writing a journaling prompt about that. That might look like a little self-coaching session. That might look like a little bit of movement and then a tarot card. It might look like 10 minutes today and then tomorrow it's 2 hours, right? But I cultivate the habit of inviting in like a space where my intention is to nurture myself, right? Mm. You know, like today, part of my morning routine was like putting on a mood light, taking a shower and like having a candle lit with like some amazing music playing, right? Now, if the regimented thing works for you because you have a neurotypical brain and nervous system that loves that, and like your mouth waters at the idea of like to-do list and schedules and planning every hour, fuck yes, do it. But for someone like me that's like quite neurodivergent, from like the, like my brain and nervous system is very different from like the typical standard American sort of like way that we're taught to live. Every time I look at a to-do list, I just want to vomit. Like, so I don't do to-do lists anymore. You know, I had a life coach one tell me that I needed to plan every hour and I just did not listen to that. I was like, you know, thanks for your feedback, but that's just not going to work for me. And she was like, oh, but that's how you succeed. And I was like, no, that's how you succeed, not me. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. She taught me other lessons that were like phenomenal. So I just chose to listen to what resonated and left the rest behind. But when she told me that you have to plan every hour, like I just checked out of that lesson. I was like, this one's not for me. I'm out. You know, like, and I think a lot of people force themselves to do these like 10-hour long morning routines before 5 a.m. That just are not honoring of who they are. And it's more of a performance to try and come off like you're self-improving to your ego instead of actually giving yourself permission to like feel ease and be yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's good to like start your day off with
Yeah.
the intention of like nurturing yourself, because then you set yourself up to be like in a state of knowing that you deserve, all the goodness that you're hoping to experience that day, like, you probably just get like a little bit of a head start over the critical brain that's going to be active, at all times anyways.
Exactly.
What
Oh,
else? You
I'm
just made me.
definitely feeling a natural transition into completion, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, definitely. We're at like an hour and 38 minutes here.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any like closing words of
Let me listen to what the spirit of creativity wants to share. When you lose, so somebody else can win. Everybody loses. Everybody. When you win at the cost of somebody else losing, you've also lost. Right now, what Latea's doing is she's creating a win-win scenario where she's winning because she's inviting someone in that she wants to be around. And where I'm winning because I get to share my magic and talk about shit that I fucking love. And now, when she releases the show, I'm gonna shout it out on my story, and my audience is going to experience her magic, and her audience is gonna experience mine. And it's a win-win situation. There's enough space for you, for me, and for Latea, and for everybody else. There's enough space. So, my invitation to you is to play with that question, like, where in my life am I losing so that others can win? And how can I create a win-win situation for myself there?
Oh my God, amazing. Thank you so
Beautiful.
much. I love you, Carlos. And thank
Beautiful.
you for just, I was feeling the same way. I was like, oh, we should probably wrap this up soon. And you brought it up with such grace. That's amazing.
Thanks, boo.
All right. Well, thank you for being here for the love of life.
Yeah.
And
Can
that's
I
the end.
share? Can I share
Yeah.
my where people can connect with me?
Please. Yes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Where can they find you?
My God. So I'm super active on TikTok and on Instagram at Carlos de la Playa. Just all one word like that. And on Twitter at de la Playa Carlos. So it's backwards because the original was taken. So yeah, just if you fuck with my vibes and you want just a little bit more of that De La Playa magique or this magnetic prince energy, then come hang out.
Awesome. And I'll write that in the bio as well.
Cool beans.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Carlos.
Thank you.
Bye.